Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? For a full hour as we go on adventures together. We travel the universe and undo our expectations. I've listened to this show already and I've made many, many mistakes. See if you can pick them out. Compare them to another show. Hand reposition. Railing missing. Doorknobs on other side. Oh, the differences are endless. Sounds great. Thank you, Ensign, for jamming with me on your tambourine. I wanted to try out my new delay pedal on the harp, and I think it sounds great. Thank you. I'm going to go do my captain's log now. Have a great one. Captain's log. During the holidays, I do my captain's Yule log. Oh, my goodness. You can see how old I am now. Captain's log, stardate. Ugh, calculating this is like, it's like having to calculate the tip or something. Stardate. Now, it's on Earth, it would be May. So, I don't know. I'm saying that stardate 8481239, something like that, or A or A. But my diary knows because whatever it came after the entry I did yesterday. So, you figure it out. But I believe the stardate also includes where you are. Because, you know, if you're floating in space, what is that? Noise keeps changing. Every time the ship shifts gears, I hear a different, you know, sound. It's going from, like, pink to brown or something. I don't know. All ships make a different sound. Do you know that first night in a new ship? What's that? What's that? Every sound. Because I was on the USS Wanamaker, and I was like, what is that sound? And then someone was going, it's the fridge or whatever. When it comes on, the pipes rattle. I was on starships when they still had different pipes. And on the early Star Trek, you can see there's a thing called the Jeffers tube. It changes all the time. And the one they call Scotty, sound like an alien. The one you call Scotty. The one called Scott, they call him Mr. Scott, or I don't know why he's the only one that goes by Mr. Most people, like, they have a title, but he's like, hey. He would crawl up in a tube to get something done. Just the way they have, and I assume they have sewers on the, I love saying it that way. A friend taught me to say it that way. Sewer system. I don't know what they do with their waste. Maybe that's what that's what a photon torpedo is. Could be. You know, you don't know where they're shooting all this. Gosh, there's a lot of people on that ship. And I imagine that their waste could be made to form a sort of torpedo that could be fired at Romulans. And back in my grandfather's day in space, it was the Germans. Not the Germans from Earth. There's just so many words in the galaxy, you know, so some are duplicated. But it's not what you think of it. These people are like, they're like some kind of, what do we call them? Jellyfish. Is what we would call them. They're viscous, kind of gooey creatures. And our Germans are just ordinary Europeans with bones, and these don't have bones, which is nice if you're a picky eater. But I'm now traveling in space with all my companions. Beep-pop-pop. That's my doorbell if my rooms on our ship have doorbells. Beep-pop-pop. Because otherwise people will be rapping on them. You can't rap on them because they're very fragile because they're made of a very lightweight material. It's metallic and everything, but you could put your fist right through it. It's like Reynolds wrap or something. So thank you. We're going into the holodeck now. What's that? Well, that's an imagination room that they have on the ship. And... it's just a wonderful thing to have. it's a technology that doesn't really fit. It's very advanced. Because you think a lot of, you watch a lot of episodes of Star Trek and you think, if they can make a holodeck, you know, what's going on there? Anyway, listen, to cut the noise off. You don't have to have the noise going on a spaceship. A lot of people don't understand that. The reason I keep it there for the crew is it has a calming effect, because space can be just that stillness, that quietness can drive you crazy. And I know you know that because you're listening to this radio show and this radio station, and you must have that same feeling that I would rather listen to just noise or just nothing than be alone with my thoughts. And gosh, there's nothing better than I'm just going to tout this radio station, the USS WFMU, and it's captain's old too, just like all spaceships, bless you. No, it's all crews at different ages. Because the reason that a lot of times older people are in charge of things is because they're used to, you know, taking criticism. I remember the first time I was on the radio and somebody said they didn't like the show. You know it intellectually. You know it's going to be, of course, there's people that don't like my show. Maybe I'm one of them, you know. But I thought that back then. Now I'm a huge fan. So when that first happens, you think, oh, my Lord, you know, somebody that I wouldn't like doesn't like me. Now, maybe I would like them. That's the tragic part. That's what hurts. You go, oh, okay, ow, because I think you're pretty cool. Thank you. I still hate your work. Awesome. Yours is awesome, though. All right. I kind of respect that because, you know, friendship is corrupting. It can really make you make bad decisions. And that's bad for a lot of people, right? Let's say you got this group effort and it's really going great, but you got your, you know, you won't fire your friend who's ruining it for everybody. So that's, you can see that. And you say, well, friendship isn't at the basis of everything. Yeah, it's more complicated than that, I think, sometimes. You got to consider, is the endeavor worth it? That's the thing. Say, okay, I fired my friend from the band who can't sing, but you know what? Our band is stupid. So really, the friendship should have come first. All sorts of things like that. Oh, it was lovely. When we had ethics classes, people could explore those things. And now, oh my gosh, there's podcasts, I guess. Who knows where we get our information or we have our discussions about, you know, what's right and wrong. I love to do it in a science fiction context. A lot of people do. They say, you know, what if, you know, and then they have a, because you can't deal with people who are unlike you on Earth. It's all been ruined already. So the reputation of every group of people on Earth has been ruined. And so what you need to do is make up ones. You know, here's one. Look, they look like their faces look kind of like turtles. And then they have, the suction cup ears or who knows what. And then you can start all over again with the, you know, with your fables and everything. Say, what? Terrible things were done to those on Temalculin 4. And then it helps because you take it out of context. You go, you know, it isn't like you've said the word Germans or something like that to your great-grandfather. It'd be your great-grandfather now, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. A lot of people from my youth are dead, so I can start lying. Oh, I'm going to start lying now. There's no one here to contradict me or keep me accountable. A lot of people realize when they lose their parents, they're distraught, but then they go, oh my God, now I can just lie about my childhood. And I still have my mother with me, thank God, and she's here to say, when did you eat? We never ate that. So stuff like that. We never did that. You never had that. Well, thank you for keeping me honest, mother. And so that's wonderful. But other people in New York are gone, teachers and things. Wait till all my classmates are gone. Then I'm going to rewrite history completely. I guess I could do it now and just call them liars if they said anything about me. That's the accusation about people are always lying about their background or anything like that. But you don't, not that you know anything anyway. If you said you're from Minnesota, but really, you're from Wisconsin. And, yeah, fraud. My goodness. I don't know why I'm obsessed with that episode of The Munsters. Hey, young people, there was a sitcom on long ago, even before there were color TV sets, called The Munsters, and I'm not going to go into it. I could really explore, you know, a lot of things about it and how it fits into the culture and how, you know, that stagnating banality that we tend towards. Bless the hearts of all the actors in it. But there was an episode where the young boy finds out that a character that he likes on the television called Zombo is really an actor, you know? And he gets, in this case, it's Louis Nye. And he goes, he gets violent. He's so angry. It's like finding out what Goulardi is really Ernie Anderson. Fraud. But see, this is the, you know, Andy Kaufman problem, isn't it? We just, really, somebody gets on a stage or makes a show or anything like that, or we see them on a screen, and we are immediately, our reality shifts and the truth shifts. Because we really think we're seeing something real. And there's a real shock to us. When even, well, I understand that when he's in character, but when that actor's out of character, they're still lying? Is it a stage? Are there microphones? All right, do you follow me? What are you watching it on? Is there an audience? So, yes. Yes. That's what it is. It's a show. Know you're watching a show. How do you tell you're watching a show? I feel like I've been so neglectful, just as a human being, as an older one, not to pass this on. Here's how you know something's a show. A lot of tells. One, there's a stage. Two, there's a studio. Three, there's recording equipment. There's an audience. It doesn't have to be all. It can be one of those things. And you're pretty sure it's a show. You paid to watch it. Or you're paying to watch it because there's commercials. And also, this goes for the commercials, too. So just be careful. Look how happy that lady looks eating her pancake mix. She looks so happy. What? She's not liars. It's as though, my goodness. What about art? All art is propaganda. There's all propaganda bad. Advocating creatively by appealing to the emotions? Don't think so. So, you know, that's you to figure out. You got to figure out what it is. What you're watching? What am I listening to? What is this? It started out. I thought you were going to do a Star Trek parody because, my goodness, that has never been done. No one's ever taken those characters, even from the old ones, made fun of them or anything like that. Everything tends towards the absurd in a culture that recycles as a way of making money. And it's meta-parasitism. What you're doing is just you take a thing and then you do a copy of it or a parody of it. And sometimes they're indistinguishable. And then you just keep making copies. And you make copies and you make so many changes that a lot of the things that make it, let's say Star Trek, that make it Star Trek are what do they call, vestigial or something, you know, like... What used to be a functional tail is now like a little nub, you know, so they're in the ships and everything, but it's really gun smoke. And, you know, they would run out of ideas on Star Trek, even in the beginning, and they go, okay, we're going to a planet that's the Western set from Universal Studios. So we're going to do it there now. I'm just so sick of this spaceship. So they go out and they do it there and drum, but it's all like you just... Change the shirts. Comedy dell'arte. Who's going to be Scaramouche today? Let's make Scaramouche a Vulcan. Or maybe a Gabunde or a Gashambabim. I like how Star Trek accidentally called one of the races Kardashians. I think that's right. I was thinking that was, whoops. You guys, it's going to be, these are the you know, and they make up a surname. I'm trying to think of something like that did before. Oh, I think there was a Kanye West on the original. Wasn't there on the original Star Trek? Some kind of, I don't know what he was. But my goodness, they would tackle social issues by, one time they had Frank Gorshin come on, and he had half his face painted black and the other half painted white. And then there's another character actor that you would recognize that had the flip side, and they didn't like one another. And Dr. Seuss is at home going, I did that already with the star-bellied snooches, booches. So he's all upset, and then they sued, and then, oh my gosh, and then Bob Newhart sued Shelley Berman, sued Bob Newhart, who then sued Cohen on the telephone. This is in my pop culture course. Have you taken it online? Oh my gosh, don't sleep on that. Don't sleep on Serta. They're a good mattress. I'd have this course, and it's a pop culture course. And you take it, it just takes months, and then you get a certificate, and you can go to bars. I don't know what you would do. I don't know what you want to do with it. Lose friends, maybe. Go on and on about a thing. I always thought, oh, I'm going to learn about things, and it'll be interesting at cocktail parties. But really, it's what you learn and how you present it. You know what I'm saying? So just recently, for instance, did a deep dive into the Rousters, you know, Jim Varney kind of adventure series from the early 80s. And I thought, I can bring this up in conversation in a way that I'll tie it into, I don't know, current events or something. And then I will be seen as a raconteur and not somebody who's, you know, I don't know, biologically incapable of detecting boredom. Also, that's a good radio. Gosh, if you have your socially awkward, I beseech you, get a microphone. I have friends that have zero listener podcasts, because they just need to talk at someone. And it's a great way. I've done that thing where, and a lot of people would do, and I think it was originally in like a Charles Grodin movie, but I've got the cutouts around here to keep me company. Most of them have fallen over. They were all of Kyle MacLachlan, but I had cutouts of Kyle MacLachlan in Twin Peaks all over the my room here. But what happens is they're cardboard, and then they get, I don't know whether it's the humidity, but all of a sudden they start to get stooped. Even the real Kyle is not that stooped. And then all my bad Coop and Dougie started to bow. They started to bow to me, these two-dimensional friends of mine. And I said, what's going on? Are you okay? And then they got full-on some kind of curvature of the cardboard spine. And bloop. And now they're all folded up and everything, like most of the people in my life. You know, they just, things are temporary. Let's not think about that. Let's only use it as a motivation to be here in the moment. Oh my goodness, are you glad to be alive? Not really. You're only not glad to be alive because of something that's just happened or is about to happen. But, and no, I'm in the dentist chair. Whatever, I guess, I'm sorry. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I would love to get you to just at least one moment. It's so real, the present. And I wish you could preserve them. The way that we preserve experiences, memories, is just, I'm not sure it's adequate. You know, I just don't. It'd be like saying, oh, I love this. This fruit is great. Well, we should preserve it. How should we preserve it? Just take a picture of it. See, and that's the problem. Because then it's just a picture. And that's, I think, a lot of memories are. Sometimes they evoke something, yes, but I'm not sure it even corresponds to what the original thing was. For instance, you might have a picture of somebody that you love, you've lost. Now, when you saw them when they were there, you go, oh, their face brought me joy. And now I see it, it's tinged with sadness. It's because you're not looking at the real person. You're looking at the memory. And memories, oh my goodness, they've got lots of room to have other things in them. I love saxophones, but God, Lord, you got to keep them clean. You don't even know what's growing in there. You don't want to see it. They'll take a camera down in one that's not been maintained. Because what happens is a lot of times that if you leave any kind of matter, organic matter, it can grow a little homunculi, I guess, little tiny creatures grow out of it. and they have a little colony in there. And you don't know, you know, anytime something's called a colony, you don't want it. You know, it's like, I don't think you belong here, cockroaches or whatever you are. And so they go living in your saxophone, and it's just your spit, though. So keep all your instruments clean, especially the ones where you can't see the hidden spaces. Now, you can see them on a guitar. Look at your guitar frets. And see that stuff in the frets? That's you. That's you in there. If they ever need to clone you, probably more than enough in there, don't you think? It's just good skin and oil and dirt and whatever you were touching that day. Took a little bit with you because you're one big low-car exchange principle, aren't you? Oh, I absorb things from the spaces I go into, and then I walk into another space and I shed them. For instance, I walk into a house of discontent where people are fighting. I hate you, hate you. Then I go to the cafe, and I'm going to order from the barista. What am I going to be? Probably tense or rude or angry, because I've got that on me. We get things on one another, don't we? Oh, my goodness, I try not to. I try to walk gently through this world. And I learned early on, you know, why do I have to wear deodorant? So, you know, other people, who cares? It's natural smell, skunky and everything. But then I thought, you know, it's not, why is it bad to think about other people? You don't have to do it as a guilty way or being subservient or anything. You can do it as this acknowledgement that if you have this awareness of others, that they could have this awareness of you. And there would be, instead of a threat, a protective net of coexistence. So that's just, I'm just putting that out there, and I know that does not make a very good Sunday school lesson. The emotions are not riled up enough. Oh, my goodness, it's easy to get people angry. It really is easy to get people angry. Is it? Yeah, because there's two ways you could do it. You either get them thinking about something that's frustrating to them, or they feel powerless, or you just annoy them. So you don't even have to have a cogent argument. You could just, you know, provoke them. Then you can get them angry. So that's like the easiest thing to do. Getting them laughing. You know who thinks it's hard to get people to laugh? Comedians. And I think that's because they want too many. You know, because you'll hear that all the hardest on these actors' things, James Lipton or something. You know, drama is difficult. They say comedy is almost impossible. No one can do it. It is impossible. So I always say the hardest thing is to make people laugh, isn't it? But I say it is if you just want them to keep laughing. You know, then. So it's really hard to get people to poo, isn't it? They only want to do it like once or twice a day. Well, I mean, you could feed them a lot like a goose. You could force stuff down their throat and make them poo all the time. So I think that maybe comedy is that way. You know, it kind of expects a single reaction. So, you know, my anger show would get you just the same way as a good Robin Williams comedy movie would. So that's just I know that's an unpopular opinion, and you say, well, just... But I don't know that you can even make everybody all laugh at the same thing. And I demand it. I blame if people aren't laughing, that's the audience problem. And I'm mad. They need to laugh. No, I don't care. I do care, and I do care. And here's why I don't care. Can you hear that? There's nobody here. Oh, my goodness, so you could be screaming your lungs out either in hatred or admiration for me, and I would not know. And that is extremely liberating. I don't need to hear the reactions. I will incorporate them into what I'm saying then. I mean, the minute I hear somebody react, I'm going to, you know how that is. It's like it's Pavlovian. I do something that gets me ice cream. I'm going to start doing the ice cream thing, whatever it is. I'll turn it into a damn dance. And then the ice cream will flow. But listen, Do you want just ice cream?
Yes, please. All right, I'm going to give it to you. Listen, I'm here to not only keep you company and pass the time, I'm here to keep the time from passing too quickly. I don't want it to get slip away from you. My life is going so fast. Am I getting everything I wanted? Well, here's the good news. You don't know what you want. So chances are, you know, you might not be getting what you wanted, but you don't know what that is anyway. Oh, it's just all happening. It's the expectations that are going to crush you. That's what's going to make you, that's what the tension comes from, is the difference between your expectations and what happens. So you walk into a movie, you love it or hate it, depending on what you expected. You don't think that's true, but it is true. You know, it's a lot of things are contrast, a lot of things are wish fulfillment, you know, and it is impossible and super weirdly zen to walk through without being affected like that or having expectations. Nobody can really do it. But I would say it'd be a nice hobby to start examining what they are and why you have them. Why do I think that thing? Will my head explode if I start exploring the reasons for my worldview? What is it about Star Trek? What is it about all this? I looked at, as I start questioning things, I'm not sure I like things. I like them, I love them, I like them, I love them. Let's talk about, like, some kinds of music that are like that. And I happen to, there's a few genres I like that I feel conflicted about, because sometimes I really like them and then sometimes I'll listen to it and I go, perhaps it's garbage, but now I'm moved, but no, I'm not. And I don't understand that exactly. But I'm glad I'm open to it, because I can't imagine saying, you know, I don't like this whole thing. And that comes from having your expectations make you a bigot. And you don't realize this creeping prejudice and bigotry that seeps in everywhere because you think you've learned something. And you're not. You haven't. You know, oh, I've had one of those hamburgers. I know what they're like. Well, there's an infinite amount. And yes, they're all different. Some of them aren't even meat. My goodness. Just a word. I don't even know if we're talking about the same thing. Oh, back in space. Hang on. I got to beep, beep, boop, boop. Enter. Yes, Captain. Oh, hey, Lieutenant Eyes thing. What is it? We've achieved warp one, but you don't have to take my word for it. Ba-dum-bum. Oh, my goodness. I imagine that all the entertainment TV worlds mix, so when I see actors from other things, I just imagine they're still in the other thing like that. How about that? Like, you know, everyone's always the same universe kind of thing. Like, oh, Gilligan's really still Dobie Gillis. It makes the world more fun, I think, if you see they're all connected. It also points to how easily duped you are. It's weird, isn't it? I've never had a friend who was like not a close friend, but a relationship with somebody who was then like in a movie or a TV show or something, and they're doing something like a friend. I've had acquaintances, I guess, but like a friend. And then would you be sucked into it, or would you just see your buddy up there? I wonder. Because even people I've known casually, they fool me. Once they're on the screen or TV, I buy into it completely. I don't go, this is Jeff pretending. That's just Jeff. That ain't no Klingon. That's Jeff. So that, I'm not quite like that. I'm willing to go all in and pretend. And I just wonder how much I do that. That I mistake theater for reality. Hi, everybody. I'm Hardy White. When you get some kind of itch down there, what are you going to do? I like powder. I'm going to get me some powder. When I was a young person, that radio did that. And I found that more offensive than when they break in for an actual commercial that had you know, the Ron Hicklin Singers or something doing a jingle. I'd much rather hear that than the person that was just being frank and honest with me transition into shilling. And that's, boy, that's the YouTube is like old AM radio now. It's lovely. I love it. I was just talking about the planets, but can I remind you that your cybersecurity is important too? And how are you eating? Could you get freshness delivered? And we'll be right back to talking about black holes, but right now I want to talk about how I had the veggie enchilada with the side of chipotle rice and the smile bunny, which is a type of little pastry that they make, they put in there for free. And it saves me a lot of time because I'm usually working on my other things about facts and opinions and everything. Now, as I was saying, if you're really going to, what am I advertising? Because I'm, you know, when I, every time I come on and you say, Harney's making a good point about something, be suspicious, because that seems like I'm advocating for something. And I'm going to tell you right now that my brain changes like a me getting ready for a party. Like I go, change a lot. I don't even know if I believe the same thing from one minute to the next. And I don't know when I'm being carried away by my emotions either. So if I say something, don't, you know, just, I would say automatically disregard it. But you could use it for a sort of collage. So if I put words together that, in an interesting way, grab it and you could recontextualize it and say, you know, where Hardy was saying, don't kill puppies or something. I'm going to say, kill puppies, because I just like the way he said puppies. And I guess that's legit. Oh, my friends, I'm glad we're friends. Because I don't want to be, ugh, I don't like enemies. I don't like being scared that somebody's going to, and who does? Oh, I don't want to live in a world like that. That's why I'm on a spaceship. You know? It's just, spaceships are good, especially like this kind of war spaceship. If you like confrontation, but not necessarily face-to-face confrontation, it's very, very much like internet feuds, because you can see the, and people swat each other all the time in space like that, call the Klingons on you or something. But like if you, a ship pulls up and you do the face-to-face conference, and a lot of times, you know, they're not attractive, the other, and that's how you can tell a lot of times if they're dangerous. That idea that, you know, physically being physically repulsive is a thing. So that captain's over there and I'm conferencing with him. He says something that's angry to me. I say, drop, cut off the screen. Raise shields. No puns.
Okay.
What were you going to do?
Well, when you said raise shields.
Mark Shields?
No, older.
Shields and Yarnell.
Just a little.
No mime jokes. This is the defense of this ship. And I, as its captain, am not going to sit here and allow you to make jokes about how I say something when it's the content that's important. Shields protect us from space laser weapons. And if you do not push that button, I'm going to come push it and put the shields up. Now I'm thinking, why do I need you if I can just put the shields up with a button? Why are we going through this thing where I go shields up and you go, okay, and you've got, I could just here, put, give me a damn panel. You know, all these people, too many people on the bridge. That's enough. I like a bridge of just me and you have person on your right, which is your chat buddy. That's somebody you like to talk to, and you can just, doesn't have to be relevant. And then on your other right is a genius to ask questions of. And I would say organize your whole life like that. Have like just a genius friend and a friend who likes to listen. And probably you're done there.
What if I'm one of those people?
I bet you're not. Chances are you're not. So, I bet you're not. I bet you're like me, and you're the dullard who likes to talk. And so, that's amazing. You've got the, you're, this is the right place for you.
Hardy, you're not dull.
I don't want to contradict you. I'm not going to contradict you because I feel like that would say something about you. Every time if I put myself down and you like me, that's an insult to you. I feel that I'm saying that as if you're friends of mine, I would like to say that to you. Every time you put yourself down, you chumpetize me because I like you. I think you're good, you're cool. But if you don't like you, I got to rethink then.
You should.
No, you should.
Oh, those mirrors.
There's no mirrors on the USS Gunkablum. The USS, what are we? WFMU. It's a dumb name for a spaceship, but that's okay. So, are there any mirrors at WFMU? Not that there should be, but it's a good thing there's not. Occasionally you catch a reflection in the glass and you go, oh, God. But yeah, I don't like, no, there shouldn't be any mirrors in the workplaces. Clocks. I like the airport doesn't have any clocks because they're like, don't hold us to this. And they want plausible deniability. You know, it says 8:30 and we're not boarding. Oh, yeah, it's not really, it's just 8:30 by your watch. And other places now, the trains used to go all in. Boy, trains were like, we're putting a clock right up there. You know, not afraid to make the trains run on time.
What is fascism?
I remember that's a meme, isn't it? Is that a meme? I don't know. I called Richard Dawkins the other day. I said, you came up with the word. Is it one? And he goes, don't believe the hype. Like that. So I don't know. Oh, my goodness. You are my radio friend. And I am so glad of it. We're visiting in a way that really hasn't been done. It's really old style. You know, small market, old style.
We have this gap. Who would like to fill it?
I will fill it. And then there would be a middle-aged alcoholic gentleman who would come on and tell stories. You know,
Gene Shepherd.
Like Gene Shepherd, maybe, or somebody like that. And then on and on and on and on. And on. I'm not a middle-aged alcoholic, which is great. I have come to my chaotic, scattered reasoning through other ways, mainly laziness. I love to just sit there and look at stuff grow, and growing is a very slow thing, so you end up sitting there for quite a while. But that's okay. Oh my gosh. Most likely, I occasionally have a very long beard. Why? Well, that means that I've just taken a very long nap under a tree. Yeah, yeah. Not all people who take long naps under trees until their beard grow long are Dutch. Some of us are not. So, my only Van Winkle's Pappy Van Winkle, am I right? I don't drink anymore, but I have nothing. I didn't even have drink. I didn't drink enough to have drinking stories. So, you know, I miss that. All I did was, I think I wasted a lot of money. But, gosh, how do I cope now? Well, I've stopped trying, which is a great thing. It's so liberating. I'm going to try to, don't bother. Just afloat now. Oh, my goodness, I'm a floater. That's what they call little things in your eyes like that. Now, in the 1990s, I would occasionally listen to Art Bell's Coast to Coast. Now, if you don't remember that, it was kind of a paranormal radio show that this fella had for many years. And he was on the radio and he'd come on and it was very compelling. And he would have guests talk about very mysterious things, you know, supernatural almost. And I remember that there were people coming on talking about this phenomenon where if you look up to the sky, you would see little things kind of floating by and coming. They were almost transparent. And these are being shot down from outer space. Now, I did this, and I realized that what everybody was seeing was these things in your eye. So you're just looking at the inside of your eye, and you think it's coming from way out there. Because you've disregarded one of the possible causes. And you're attributing it to something that is sort of mysterious and compelling, you know? Exciting. Not ordinary, like, you know, it's some kind of crud on the inside of my eyes floating by, some kind of viscous ocular nastiness that's a requirement for my visual perception. Instead, we look outside and we think, oh, this stuff's coming from outside of us. And it's not, oh, the call's coming from inside the brain. It's you. It's your perception a lot of times, I think. Mine is. This is why embrace. I've noticed that the description of your show still has Dada in it. Is it really Dada? Isn't that a dated? I find Dada very traditional. It's one of the oldest and stalest of art traditions. It is this thing. It changed the whole world. My goodness. There was World War I. And then there was Dada, and then there was complete chaos and agony. And so it really changed the world, pretty much, this art movement of controlled madness by the affluent. And I like to keep that going. Really, what I'm interested in is disrupting trains of thought. I'm a train. I blow up train tracks. Because I think what happens is that, you know, you get on a single track mind, and this is where we all go wrong. Is this expectations. You think because this happened, all these things are going to happen. Well, it's great. Prediction is great, and you need it. But you depend too much on it, and you give it too much credence. Because what you have to do is reobserve constantly, because a lot of things change from one moment to the next. So not everything has the cause or the outcome that you think it's going to have. All your entertainment and your music. Take, for instance, Diodato's Also Sprach Zarathustra, which is a fusion jazz interpretation, 70s interpretation of the 19th century piece by Richard Strauss. A lot of chuch in there. Because it's Klingon. Richard Strauss also sprach Zarathustra. You can tell because if you got a haka loogie. And haka loogie is actually one of the letters in the Klingon alphabet. Och, bach, siach, haka loogie. Like that. I learned it because it's a real language like Pukaki or whatever they did on Land of the Lost. What a waste of effort. We made up a whole language for the little furry people. Pointless. You just should have had them just babble. Nobody noticed. Good. Bless it. But I do think it's important to employ linguists for stuff like that, especially in show. Why not make up a whole language? Oh my gosh. Tolkien started this, you know? And what did he do? All he did is kind of enable people that don't need to be learning the Elvish alphabet. It's something you do after you already know Russian or Swedish or something. Not instead of. Because language is for communicating with people. And who are you going to communicate with? Stephen Colbert? So you got to come up with a language that maybe is more universal. And for me, it's moaning and humming. No, I don't know what it is at any given time. I try my best. You know, you meet somebody, you try the only thing I try to communicate is the lack of a threat. Because everything else, who cares? You know, just let them know that you're not a threat. Then hopefully they'll do the same. And then you can share the watering hole. I like to watch these live cams of Namibia watering hole. And the animals come up and drink from it. Different species, too. Because once they check each other out and they figure out, okay, you're not going to bite my head off while I'm drinking from the water hole,
you're good. Now, there's no trees or bushes around. It's in this desert, this watering hole. So the apex predators, you know, the big cats and everything, they don't kill anybody because they can't hide. You know, they need to sneak up. And also they get, you know, they can run really fast and then they get gassed because they just live on a diet of steak. So, you know, that is our circumstances. And that's my neighborhood right there. There is absolutely no difference between the Namibia watering hole and the people around me who live on steak. And, you know, sometimes I will drink at the pond with the gentle ones, and even the ones that aren't, like the hyenas, they, you know, and they're skittish, but we can all get our little sip of water if we're patient and vigilant. Oh, give yourself a big hug. Look, you've done something good this week, haven't you? I know you have. Oh my goodness, come on. I won't be I want some kind of accepting, nurturing grandparent. I'd love that. My grandparents were fine, but, you know, they weren't like, come on, you can do this. Big, big hug and everything. They were, I think, because they were equally confused. But we all crave that, some kind of wise, compassionate, older person that doesn't seem to be flustered or tortured by things the way we are. You know, maybe they can guide us. Maybe they have some kind of secret or something like that. And I don't know who that would be. I guess that's probably gravitate towards characters like that in fiction. I haven't quite met anybody like that. I'm sure there is. People come close, and then, you know, that one day they say a thing, and you go, oh, damn. Okay. All right. Well, that's also your expectations. And that grandparent that you want, it's you. That's you. That's you. If you can imagine it, then you can be it. If you have this need for somebody in your life like that, that is stable, that is compassionate, that is calm, and it's you, you can do that. I can't, you don't know me. That's why I'm saying it with such confidence. And you take that and you use that ignorant advocating that I'm doing right that, and use it for you. You can use it for positive. Don't question. Just take it where you can. I feel like that. Like a lot of times, you know, friends will try to give me encouragement. So don't get discouraged, hardy, this, that, or the other thing. And then, you know, and oh, okay, all right. But then, you know, you'll drive by a billboard, and the billboard will say something like, you know, lost, stay on track, or something like that. And you'll go, the billboard's right. And I don't know whether it's because I'm not associating it with another person or I'm not, but that'll be more motivating. I want to be that coincidental billboard for you. I just want to be somebody that might say something accidentally that keeps you from spiraling into despair, keeps you from pain. I'd love it if I did that accidentally. I have no idea how to do it on purpose. I think that that would be a wonderful power. But I don't think I have it. And I'm not even sure how I'd get it to people, given our sort of kind of cultural predisposition not to give anything away. Or if it's given away, it's worthless. So I'm not sure how I would, you know, sell it in a way that would be accessible to all. Because, you know, free is tainted. And because the propaganda against free is so strong. So when you see the word free, you just absolutely, you think worthless, don't you? All right? So think about that. If you say something's for free this, free that, you think, well, if it's free, it must be worthless. Now, that's the word free. Worthless. Freedom. Worthless. Free. You are free. I am worthless. Do you see what happened there? Do you see by using something to manipulate your psychology as a way of advocating for an economic system that you have been made to self-loathe? Isn't that amazing? Oh, them, the only thing that is worthless is something that's free, and the only thing that's conceivably free is your mind. Isn't that awful? How are they putting me in prison? You are. They've got the best jailer there is.
Who's they?
They, oh, it's not the same people anytime. They, I'm just referring to as anybody that seeks to gain power by taking it from somebody else. Because that's how you know. We all have power, and people accumulate power by making others powerless. They take it, and that's how you do it. And how do you take power? Doesn't seem like, well, what we do is we put power into an object, and then we just use the object to represent it. Then we just take all that. Oh, I'm coming you. I'm powerless. I'm not powerless. Here's the thing, though. Somebody's collected some of that object you have. You sent us money. And then we use that money to do reckless things. We do that money to do what is culturally and societally irresponsible. Do you know what I mean? Like, here we are. Hardy White is wasting your money that you gave this radio station, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you? Am I? Am I? Free form? Worthless form?
Any kind of free associates?
Yes. There is no... When I free associate, it doesn't mean that I'm jumping from one thing to the next without some kind of cogency. It means I'm not limiting my associations. I'm letting it all in. I will evaluate them one by one instead of trying to generalize. And I could read things about you when I meet you. You'll give me all sorts of cultural, societal clues. You'll try to use all sorts of codes to get through to see what we share culturally. I could look at all that and I could make an evaluation. But there's a little tiny thingy in you I don't know. And you don't even know sometimes. So that's what we speak to on this radio, on this magical thing, on your magical listening device. Oh, I hope it's on something romantic. I hope you're listening to me on something romantic, like a tiny little AM radio that your Uncle Bumps gave you that smells like camphor or whatever old electronics smell like. I want to come through that. That's what I want to be talking to you like that from the beyond. I don't want to be dead, but I wish I was a ghost on the wall when you're listening to me when I'm dead. How liberating. Then you'd be absolutely convinced I don't have an agenda. Well, that's not necessarily, I guess you could propagandize from the past, but I wouldn't get anything out of it. What do I have to win?
Well, you might think that you come back and be able to reap the reward of the manipulation of the world that you have carried out during one of your lifetimes.
No, not much. I don't really think that way. I have thought, though, that if the universe is... Some people think... I won't go into the details, and I'll let my science math friends explain it. But there are some people that think that time's going to move the other way. The time is reversible because some things don't depend on the direction of time, physics-wise. So you're like, well, could it go either way? Maybe it's going to go the other way. Maybe it's an oscillating, breathing thing where the time moves one way, then it moves back again. So you're thinking, could I, like that Martin Amis album book or something, live my life backwards then? And I thought, well, yeah, but that's weird, right? You know, coming into, crawling out of the ground, an old man, and then going back into your... And I was thinking, what if you live your life backwards, but it's essentially looks the same? It's just how it is backwards. So it's like the attitude you left with is when you come back in with. Oh, that could be nightmarish. Wouldn't it be crazy? So you are reincarnated, but as yourself. And the emotional events of your life are backwards. I don't know. I'm just, I'm not even spitballing. I'm spit spitting. There's no even ball. There's no ball. I'm just spitting on my hand and then showing it to you and saying, look at the spit on my hand. And you go, that, you know, pardon the pun, is a real curveball. I don't know what to make of that. But I tell you what I've done. I've done something now psychologically. Snapped you out of your expectations. That's what we do when we do surprise. That's why people laugh when they're surprised, as well as laugh when something is funny or clever, as well as laugh when they're uncomfortable or confused. If you ever go into a stand-up show, you know, I sit there and I count what kind of laughs they are. Because some people laugh when they're uncomfortable. So you say a joke that maybe it's kind of edgy or something, it's really kind of offensive. There are going to be some people that giggle because they're like, because they suddenly feel like they don't fit in and they need to. You know, there's derisive laughter. There's laughter of acknowledgement. There's surprise. There's all sorts of ways that people laugh. That's why, you know, laughing without knowing context is spooky, right? Are they cackling hyenas that are laughing at someone being tortured, you know? Or are they laughing out of joy? It's hard to know. It's just a sound and facial contortions. I don't know. Bless you. I'm here to bless you. I heard that you need one. Enter. Yeah, I'm a head of security. Oh, hey, Lieutenant Forehead. Professor. I don't know why I was thinking professor. Go on. Yeah, I'm just here to give a report about the ship's security. Looking good. All right. So, it's all secure?
Yep.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, nobody's criming or anything.
Is there anything to steal?
We have these machines that meet all your needs.
So people could steal those?
No, everyone has one.
Right. So anybody could make anything they need. There's no reason to steal.
Yeah, people still do it to be dicks.
I bet that would be true. Because I wonder how much, you know, a lot of times stealing has nothing to do with needs, right? It's just maybe depriving somebody else of something or the excitement of acquiring it, or who knows why people thieve. I go to history museums and think that. Why would you take somebody's statue? I guess you wanted it really bad. No one's using this. It is buried in the earth. All right. We should take it to our country. Why do they talk like that? No. But I can't do a British accent. But I would love... Oh, my goodness. I'm so lucky. I'm lucky that you are listening to anything I say. Because as human beings, you know, it feels so powerless. We come into this world a helpless baby. And then, I don't know, I feel like we stay one most of the time. Now, granted, for a while you might get this wonderful, powerful body. And you might look wonderful and strong, and you may be able to pull yourself or push yourself up. But then it begins to decline again and deteriorate. That's the whole thing with the whole damn universe. It's unorganized. It gets itself organized, and it just cannot maintain it. And everything falls apart again. And that is the only thing that I know for sure. Is the only real law there, is that whatever this place we're in doesn't like things to stay together organized for very long. It likes them to fall back in to what we think is disorganized. But is it? Or is it just wonderfully unpredictable? Is it just abstract in its nature? Does it just defy expectations? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Freeform radio. The radio is on. What? Your radio's on, but keep it on. It's only gonna get better.
Yeah, exactly. They write me. Yeah.
They keep space.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed this. I prefer friendly messages.
Well, you know, it's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
My name is Helen.
My name is Bailey.
Bailey?
Yeah.
Bailey.
Yeah.
Like a baby.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, it sounds similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's close by.
Yeah. Well, cool. Nice to meet you, Helen.
Nice to meet you.
Have a nice rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you.
His name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. Twins' 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 name was Ebony.
me everywhere, baby.